Hi, I'm Alexis.
And I'm Katie.
And welcome to Controlled Chaos, where we will bring you into the world of the Las Vegas hospitality industry. Thank you for spending some time with us today, and let the chaos begin.
Katie.
Hi.
How is hell season?
You know what? It's going. It's going. It's hot.
It's hot still.
A little spicy.
Yep.
It's going. It's soon to be October.
Yep.
Happy October.
Happy October.
And as all event planners know, it's our busy season, especially here in Vegas. I think that's like common everywhere.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's common everywhere. But in Vegas, it's like, I don't think we have a day off in October.
No, we're like just like swimming.
I've been swimming since September.
You same.
I went swimming with the whales.
Literally.
And I came back and I've been swimming ever since.
Literally, how were the whales?
Oh my God. Absolutely incredible. 10 out of 10 would recommend. I might be back there because I might be drowning out here, so I'm just going to go actually meet with them.
I love that.
It was incredible. But yes, how was... You didn't have a vacation.
I don't know. I am not on a vacation.
But you had a very busy September, so how was that?
It has been really busy. I did last weekend. Yeah, it was last weekend. I did call my very first show. Like,
oh my God, how did it go?
It went really well. So Gwen was there. She was up in the front. I was in the tech booth and I was calling all of the cues, all the audio, lighting, video, all the microphone, everything, all the cues. And I only like messed up like a couple of times. When I had them turn the audio on for the walk-up music, I forgot to tell them to bring it down because,
gotcha.
Yep. But that was like the only two mistakes. Gwen was like, oh my God, you did so good. So I really liked it. I was on a high at the end. I was really nervous beforehand. And I was like, am I going to like poop my pants? But then I didn't.
I love that. And there's like little things that I feel like you noticed that probably no one else noticed.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
So that was fun.
Do you think you're going to like want to do more stuff like that?
Yes. That was the next thing that I wanted to learn. And I had done more for like a really small event, but not to the scale that I did last weekend, and I really enjoyed it. And Gwen was like, now that we've seen how good you can do, this is going to be good.
And, like, did you feel kind of like a boss?
I did.
Like, with the headset on?
We didn't wear the headset because it was in a – I've worn the headset lots of times, the clear comms.
Yeah.
But we didn't have it because we were in a tech – so the way that World Market Center is set up, they have, like, a tech booth that has a window.
Gotcha. So every time, like, you have to go on radio for an event or something – anytime, or even if you don't really, it's not necessary. When my like boss is like, do you want to get radios? I'm like, yeah. I just feel more important with the radio.
Yes.
You can't hear it half the time. I just feel more important.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I feel important.
Yeah. I love that.
People take you more seriously.
They do.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're important.
Or like, if you don't want to talk to somebody, you just like, I'm sorry. Somebody's talking to me.
Sorry, what?
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. What are we drinking?
Oh, we are drinking wine and it's needed because we are on the cusp of the busy season in the midst. Like this week, it's a Wednesday today that we're recording. And
I literally thought it was Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I had a client call on Monday and at the end of the call, so confidently, like 0 ounce of like doubt in my mind, I said, well, thank you so much, you guys. Have a wonderful weekend and I'll talk to you guys soon. It was Monday at like 10 a.m. It's because I've been working for like 2 weeks straight. And so I just didn't know what day it was. And they were just blending together. So.
All the days are blending.
All the days are blending. And I was so confident that it was going to be a normal day. But
It's okay. We love our jobs. Honestly, we love our jobs.
We love our jobs.
And it's not like this all the time.
Right. We go through our flows and what have you. So it's fine.
But if you can't stay up late, work all day, stand all day, this ain't the job for you.
I think now it's like I'm living in a state of like, I'm just going to take a little break and then go back to work. Like I'm going to eat my dinner and go for a run and I'm going to go back online.
Yeah.
Or like even today I was like, I'm going to be doing this fun things with my friends and I'll be back online tonight. Or like I'm traveling home for this weekend and I'm like, but I'll be back online. Like, don't worry, I'm going to take this quick flight.
Yeah, literally when we went to San Francisco yesterday.
Yeah.
And literally for the day, spent like 6 or 7 hours there, came back. Mm-hmm. And on the flight, the Wi-Fi wasn't working. So we're like, okay, I guess we'll take a little break. But still talking about work, but we just won't respond to any emails or anything at this time for the quick little hour that we have. But it's okay. I take your breaks. I have a treadmill in my office.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that goes underneath my desk. I love it. I'll send it to you.
Yes.
And I literally walk.
Died.
Yes, yeah, I literally walk.
And you brought it.
And I did. And I love it. And I use it. I walked for an hour and a half today.
That's amazing.
I know.
I love that.
Get those juices flowing, everyone.
Okay, so you have a treadmill under your office.
I have a treadmill under my desk in my office.
Which is great because exercise is very important.
Yes.
Much like communication in our industry. And that's what our topic of today is. It is communication. And Alexis, we are going to be talking much about communication. I have some fun questions for you.
I have some for you.
Oh, I'm yay. Okay. My first question for you about communication is, why is clear communication the cornerstone of successful event planning?
Huh. If you have no communication, there is no event happening.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Between you and the client, between you and your vendors, between you and your team, if there is no communication, nothing can happen. And I have learned that firsthand. Like, the more people that know all the information, the better. Because if I were to get hit by a bus, someone else needs to be able to take up exactly where I left off and know exactly what's going on, and be able to plan the event. If you need to know exactly what your client's expectations are to make sure that you're meeting their expectation, exceeding their expectations, like getting approval from them for everything, making sure that the event runs smoothly. Like, over communication is so important for an event. And especially what I have had to learn is, even though I understand what's going on in my head, not everyone else knows what's going on in my head. So I have to be able to effectively communicate what is going on and what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot have an event without communication.
I agree. No one talks. Or I've come to an event where I know different parties are not communicating.
Yes, you can tell.
And you can tell right off the bat. You're like, no one talked to each other on this one.
Yep.
No one talked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the worst. And a lot of clients are not great at communicating within their own team.
Yes, 100%.
And then you have one person reaching out to you and then another person reaching out to you and they're like wanting two completely different things.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, y'all need to sit down and get together and figure out what you want.
Yeah, like, who's the decision maker?
Yep.
Who's the main person?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, Katie.
Okay.
How do you establish effective communication between clients, vendors, and the event team?
Ooh, That's a good one. Can you repeat it?
Yes. How do you establish effective communication between clients, vendors, and the event team?
So this is actually like what I do for a living because I'm that middleman, right? So like my client tells me what they need and I give that to the vendors. So to establish like clear communication is pretty much, I will allow a lot of those times active listen. I think clear communication comes from active listening. And I am getting better at this every single day because I think it's really hard to active listen sometimes. And so what I usually do is I'll sit there with my client. I'll listen to what she or he has to say. And I always repeat it back to them. So from my understanding, this is what I just heard. And then that's their opportunity to kind of tell me like yes or no. So then I'm repeating back to them essentially what they're saying. So then it's a second time of what's happening. And then I'm writing all that down and then I'm giving it to my vendors in that like same word. And I would like for my vendors pretty much to repeat it back to me of what they are saying. Or like I'm always like an email, and especially an email communication, because I feel like that's the main source of communication we're doing. I'm like, please read and review this. And then let me know once you've read and reviewed this. And I'm that person, and you're going to hate me for it. But I will be like, either I sneak something in the email of like, please reply with your favorite color. Or like, I feel like I am a teacher sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, please reply with your favorite color. Or if they ask me a silly question and I know I sent it in an email, I will say like, have you read your paperwork or have you read that in the email? Like that was in that email communication. So I think that's really important. And sometimes when I know I'm not that, like, I don't speak their language. Like, for example, we have a lot of people that are in production or I've hired a band and I don't speak the same language as my AV tech. And I don't know what stage life, like, what type of cables they need. I just put them on a call together and I'm just in there listening because I think that's the smartest way to do that communication stream. But yeah, I think like listening to your client and then reiterating what, like saying back to them what you think you've heard. And then also I think a big part of communication is actually like comprehension. It's not just like what they say, it's like comprehending what they said. So you've actually understood what that message is. And same with your vendors, because sometimes I think your vendors are telling you, like, you got to listen to your vendors, because sometimes they'll say, like, this did not work or this will not work.
Yep.
And you can't push something because they know their product the best. So, like, listen to them. It's comprehension.
Agreed.
All right, Alexis. My question to you is, what are common communication breakdowns during events and how do you avoid them? Like, where do you feel like the issue is? Or, like, my favorite word, there seems to be a disconnect.
Okay.
There's a disconnect here.
So recently this actually happened.
Okay.
We were doing an event for a charity, and there was an extreme communication disconnect between us and the banquet staff. And it was right in the middle of a video right before Fund a Need, where you, like, are about to ask people for a lot of money, and they decide to serve dinner. Well, during the Fund a Need video and no service, because we are trying to get your attention. We're trying to make you cry to give us all your money.
Right.
And we were a little short staffed. I literally had to run from, I take my clear comb off because I was stage managing, run, go find the banquet manager, stop. I had to stop everyone from service to be like, focus on the bill. I'm like, do not serve at this point. Then me and the banquet manager stepped to the side. We became friends. We went through when you can serve. This is when you can finish serving the food. This is when you can clear the plates.
Yeah.
This is when you can serve the dessert. Because usually we have a banquet meeting with them. We didn't have time to have an exact, like, in-depth one that day because we were running so behind. So that was, like, a big thing. Also, like you were saying, because we are, like, a full one-stop shop, one of the decor items that were brought, we couldn't even put up the stage decor because my team brought the wrong size. And they were like, well, no, so-and-so pulled this and said this was the right size. And I'm like, well, I can't use it because this won't fit on there anymore. So we're just striking the whole thing. So, yeah, communication. I mean, always making sure, like I said, over-communicating and taking the time to have those meetings.
Yeah.
And I know it's really hard, especially right now, because, like, it is so busy. But making sure that we're having all those communications so that nothing happens.
I think that's what the benefit is of, though, hiring a party like you or your one-stop shop, or like a DMC or an event planner or a third-party meeting planner, to have that, like, one point of contact, because then they're in taking out in that information and then extrapolating all that data and, like, giving it out to the parties that need it.
Yeah.
And so they're taking it all in and then understanding, like, yep, they're deciding on the lighting, they're deciding on this, they're deciding on the food, they're deciding on the service. Like, they're making all those decisions for you.
Yep. It's always good to have one person.
Yeah, because then they're aware of everything that's happening in that room.
Yep.
And they're making all those decisions instead of, like, five different people in charge of five different things, and then you're getting five for those.
Exactly.
That was silly.
Katie, how do you set client expectations up front to ensure everyone is on the same page?
I don't know if I either, my clients love me or they hate me. I think I don't have any in-betweeners because I'm very strict with my clients. Like, I give my clients deadlines. I, in that initial client call, when the program eventually gets turned to me, I will, like, sit there and, like, how do you, like, and I'm, like, in the sense of, like, how do you like to be communicated with? Mm-hmm. And then I'll hold them to that standard. Like, if they say calls, I will be on the phone with them constantly. If they say email, I will be emailing them constantly. If they say text, I will be texting them constantly. So, like, I kind of like how I ask them how they like to be communicated with, and I'll follow through on that. I think they will either love it or hate it because I am a big follow through person. And then I think, like, in the sense of just, like, establishing that first, like, sometimes we get scatterbrained clients, and my job is really to keep them on track. And so if I'm not getting my answers, I will chase them down and get my answers because I need to do my job. Like, and I need answers from my client in order to get my job done. And so sometimes if I'm having a hard time doing that, I get them just face to face.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to hop on a call and get this all done in one, like, one meeting. And that might stress you out. And, like, and I just, I don't know. I feel like that's, like, my thing. I'm not afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not afraid to go to the client and say, like, this needs to get done. Otherwise I can't do my job. And I'm not also afraid to be like, hey, if you don't give me this answer, there'll be a 20% rush fee on this or what have you. And I'm not afraid to say no. And I think that's where a lot of my colleagues struggle is like, oh yeah, we'll try to get that. Like, I'm not going to turn my wheels because you made a decision late. Or, like, I'll have a client call me at, like, 10 o'clock at night for something early the next morning. And I'll be like, I'll try my best, but, like, your poor decision did not impact me. Like, sorry.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing that a lot of people need to learn is it is okay to say no.
Yeah.
Like you said, I have a lot of people that work with us and they just want to say yes to the clients because they're like, that means they're going to love me and they're going to think I'm their best friend. You don't need to be their best friend. Yeah. You're running the event and you can always, like you said, I'll try my best, but I don't think that's going to work.
Right.
Or no, the bar actually closed 5 minutes ago. We can't make any more drinks. Right. You have to wait till tomorrow.
And I'm very proactive.
Sorry. I don't understand.
Me neither, Siri.
I'm very proactive with my clients in the sense of like, if I have a lot of entertainment, and I know it's entertainment heavy, I'll go to my clients. I'm like, is there any chance of extending? And then if they say yes or no to that, because a lot of times clients are like, no, hard no budget. I'll always like, okay, great. Hard no on a budget. Awesome. Then I know, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I could get a read on my client. Like, is the budget really a hard or is it no? Because then I'm also asking, like, entertainers, they're people.
Yep.
They may not be able to stay.
Yep.
One. Two, is the space available? I don't know. Like, all these factors. So I'm always very proactive. Like, I'm asking these questions to the client ahead of time. So then they're kind of thinking in their head, like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And then now they know that I know because I'm going to mark that up.
Yeah.
Like money talks as much as people don't like it to talk. Like when you say there's a 20% fee on it and then you actually put a 20% fee on it, like that talks. Because now all of a sudden you're incentivizing your client not to make late decisions and then you're not in a pickle either. And I'm also, I just think like setting expectations of like the more you have your stuff together, the more the client's expectations are going to have their stuff together. If you're scattered, they're going to feel scattered.
Yeah.
When you're more responsive, I think they're more responsive. Like we were joking, me and my boss actually had my one-on-one today. And we were like joking about difficult clients. And I was like, I don't feel like I have difficult clients. And I don't know if like my other colleagues are just getting unlucky by having difficult clients or if they make their clients difficult. And I think a part of our job is to manage clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like part of it. And I do feel like I get some anxious clients, but I feel like when you come on site and you're anxious, you're going to make your client anxious. So you have to bring them down a little bit and like, be like, okay, here, because I'm the same way. If I hire a bunch of vendors and they show up anxious, they don't know where things go. They don't know what the product is. I'm going to feel anxious because now they've lost my trust.
Yep.
Vice versa. Even if they don't know where the stuff goes, if they come to me and they're like, hey, just to confirm, this is what I have. Is this exactly what you have? And they come to me a little bit more confident. I'm going to feel a little bit more confident. Like,
exactly.
Even if they don't really know what's going on, like just act a little bit more confident. Or like, hey, I had this for this time. Just confirming, is this still accurate? Like the way you word it. So I think setting your expectations is different and just like holding yourself to a certain standard, then your clients will hold themselves to that standard too.
Agreed.
Which... yeah, that's what I don't know. I think I'm a little, and I write it all out. This is due by this date. If not, like no later than, and then I read it and then I'm following up all the time.
Yep.
I'm like, we're past your deadline.
Following up is so important because so many people are so scared to just keep following up with the client.
Oh, I follow
but it's
up
like you have to in this
yeah.
industry because if you don't follow up, A, you could lose a client and they could never want to work with you
yeah.
again. You're not going to get your stuff on time. Their event is not going to be successful.
Right.
So you have to follow up with them.
You have to.
You
especially
are babysitting
for,
them.
For print, anything printed
yes.
is very hard because there's hard deadlines on that stuff.
Yep.
Anything that you owe a vendor to, there's hard deadlines. So I'm sitting here and labor and all this stuff. And so I'm just very transparent with them in the sense of like, if you don't give me this graphic print approved by this date, there is either going to be extra print fees.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like ordering on Amazon.
Yep.
If you want something tomorrow, you're going to pay extra in shipping and handling. That's
yep.
just the way of the world. You're going to make people work harder to get that thing to you faster. So like, yes, I could get it for you. It's just going to be more expensive. So like you can get something fast. It's just going to be more expensive.
Absolutely.
Fast and good, more expensive. Fast and not good, cheap.
Yeah.
Like, and if it's cheap and it can get to you fast, it's not going to be good.
No.
Like, you can't pay it. Like, so I'm very transparent to them about that. And I'm following up and I just set calendar reminders or what have you. However, I need to remember that deadlines are due. I'm just following up my clients on those.
Yep.
So yeah, I think clients appreciate that because they have so much going on that like they appreciate the little follow up of like, oh yeah, shit, that's due tomorrow. Let me get on that today.
Yep. Agree.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How do you handle last minute changes or crises and communication them ineffectively to all parties involved?
I cry. No, I'm just kidding.
We go to the bathroom, we cry for 5 minutes, call our best friend, and then we move on.
It's so funny because I was talking to one of my friends that is in the events industry, and she was like, it's okay to cry as long as we laugh about it afterwards. And I was like, you're absolutely right, because we'd be having mental breakdowns and you just cry a little bit and then you just laugh and you're like, it's fine. Let's continue on. I would like to say I'm pretty good at handling last minute changes. They happen all the time, especially on the production side. You know, like someone doesn't show up in time for rehearsal, or they're adding this person in, or when you're doing a live auction, it's okay, we're actually going to add a second package. Maybe they want to add something on last minute. I'm pretty good at handling that. Sometimes I take a couple seconds to breathe, think about it, how to actively solve the solution, talk about it with like my team.
Yeah.
Like one time when I ordered 600 of the wrong chairs because I made up my own name for the chair and they showed up for the event. And I was like, what? Called my boss and I was like, I don't know what to do. What, want to know what we did? We told them to load those chairs back on, and we called the vendor and was like, what can we do? Right. And we solved the problem. And I was panicking a little bit, but my boss was like, it's going to be fine. Client had no idea. No idea that it was a complete different chair or anything because we had to fix everything. I think just taking a second, breathing, figuring out everything, making sure, like, obviously you don't want your client to know something is going wrong. Being able to handle the situation. And if it's something last minute, like you said, and it can't be done, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we can't do this. Or, okay, we can't do that, but we can do this. So I think that it's super important both ways. But
just be straight up with your clients.
Yep.
Because like we're all human at the end of the day. We like to be honest with each other. Like it is what it is.
Yep. What is the key to maintaining a balance between over communicating and under communicating?
I'm in the mindset that like you can never over communicate.
Agreed.
I guess though, I'm in the sense of like you can over communicate the wrong thing. Is that, that's what I'm like, and I do this a lot too. Like you just ramble.
Yeah.
Or you don't have good boundaries. And so you talk about the things that are not important. So for example, I think our industry is really tough in this, where we have clients that become friends and our industry is fun and we go out with our clients and we can become friends and we have dinners and we get drinks and boundaries can become blurred. And I think that's where I think the over communicating can be a little difficult. I think in the terms of events and when you're at the event, like the job gets done, but I think where it hurts us, and I've seen it hurt colleagues and I've seen it hurt myself, is you become too close to your client. And I think that's where, and I'm not in the sense of like, I don't think it happens to everybody, because I think a lot of the people that I work with, we can put work in one bucket and we can put friendship in another bucket, but I've also seen that get very blurred. And I think that's where the over communication comes from. And it's a little bit murky because I've also seen where, oh, it doesn't matter, she's just my friend, where then it starts to get taken advantage of, where I'm in the mindset of like, that's my friend and I need to show up 10 times more strong. But I've also seen it the reverse, or like the over communication of like, I'm friends with my boss, but now my boss is talking badly about, you know, colleagues to me, or my personal life that I confided in with my boss is now being told to other colleagues. Like, so there's that, like the over communication, I think. I don't think that's over communication. I think that's a lack of boundaries.
Agreed.
But I don't think you can really, I think that's the one skill that everyone could continuously work on is communication. But I think communication and boundaries go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. I think under communication is, again, like that. I also think a lot of under communication comes from like a lack of self-confidence in planners. Like I've worked with a lot of clients and my colleagues and people and vendors and themselves. Like I've seen vendors not be honest with me. And I don't think it's, I don't think it's meaning that they don't want to be honest with me. I think it's a lack of confidence of being honest, or they're scared of my reaction because they've probably had in the past a really bad reaction from a client at one point. Where if they just told me from the get-go that that wasn't going to work, I probably would have been a lot happier. And then we could have probably came up with 10 solutions instead of them waiting to the last 5 minutes to tell me something wasn't going to work. And then we've had a scramble and like I would have been a lot more different about those situations. So yeah, I don't know if it's an over under. It's more about boundaries and like the delivery of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
That's a good question, though.
I know.
These are good questions. Good questions. Oh, I think this is good. Question two. How important is nonverbal communication during event? And what ways are best ways to monitor it? Because I think, I don't know, I'm going to butcher this. So don't come after me, people. But like, isn't it like only 80% of what you say, or like, it's like some little percentage, like maybe it's only like 10% of what you say is actually what you say. Like a lot of it is your nonverbal mm-hmm. cues.
Yeah. I always have to watch my face.
Oh, your face gives it away.
Oh, my face gives it away.
You have to turn your Teams like off or your camera off on Zoom and stuff.
That's why I always have to smile.
Because you're sitting there on a call and you're like, great. I wish you could see us.
Yeah, I wish you guys could see us. I'm just smiling. I have RBF really bad. And so that's why I always smile.
What's RBF? Oh, okay. I know what RBF is. We'll put it in the comments or whatever.
And so I've always learned to smile. I've also learned that when you're talking to someone on the phone, if you smile while you're talking to them, they can hear that. And it will affect.
I never knew that. Mm-hmm.
So when I worked retail.
You know what? But I can notice when people are not listening to me when I'm talking to them on the phone.
Yes. So try smiling. When I worked retail, our owner called the store because he was watching the cameras and I looked mad.
Okay.
Alexis, when you answer the phone, you need to smile because people can hear you smiling. Like they can hear it in your voice. And ever since then, anytime I talk to someone, I always try to have a smile on my face. And it does. It changes the entire conversation. If you have a conversation with someone and you're not smiling and you switch it to when you're smiling, it changes the pitch of your voice, the way that they perceive everything. So I think that's really important.
I think I always smile. So I think I feel like
yeah.
normal.
Yeah.
That's the normal way I answer the phone. Ring.
That's good.
I always, hi.
But I think, yeah, I think watching your face, making sure that when you're in a, like when you're speaking with someone, not crossing your arms, because that means you're kind of like not really in the conversation.
Yeah.
Like making sure you're making eye contact, I think is extremely important.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I think people read off of that really quick and that can make or break like a relationship with a client or a vendor.
Yes.
So I think it's really, really important to be focused in the conversation.
Yes. Can I piggyback off of this?
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
I get really upset with vendors and or my staff that do this to me sometimes when they have a bone to pick with me, with something that's going on, and they don't know who's in that room.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't even have to be like, it could be anybody, like, I don't know. I get really frustrated when somebody needs to talk to me and they start talking to me like, you don't know who's listening.
Yep.
And so I get very anxious and I'm like, okay, like, shh, let's sidebar this somewhere else. So I'll usually be like, you know what? Like, come with me over here. Or even when a client starts talking to me, or if I need to start talking to, or even when I need to talk to a vendor because something is happening, I usually try to be very conscious of like pulling them to somewhere that is semi-private if possible. Or I know if a staff is making me upset or doing something wrong, or if a vendor is doing something wrong, I notate it and like that might not be the perfect time to address it. Like, because other things are happening and I hate seeing, and I see this a lot where leadership or somebody in charge is yelling at their laborer that they're doing. And I think that is the worst and most unprofessional way to do something, especially when an event is going on at the time.
Agreed.
You need to stop it right now because then, and then everybody else is reacting to that. And it's like you said, the energy is off. And I'm like,
yep.
No, like, we need to pull aside or go handle that somewhere else. Like, oof, that's a big pet peeve. Or when you know something's going wrong.
Yep.
And they're like whispering about it in the corner. You're like, something's happening over there, but you don't really know what. And then it just makes your client anxious. And you never know who's listening. You never know who's the banquet server is going to talk to the bartender, or the bartender is going to tell like the client. You never know.
Exactly.
You never know who a TD is. And I just get a little anxious about it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Communication.
Communication.
It's important.
And what you say is not always what you say.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You hear that, people? Because I feel like I'm extra good at picking up on what people are saying through their body.
Agreed.
Which is also annoying because I'm like, she said she loved it, but I feel like she actually hates it. So that's not cool.
And, you know, we're coming, wrapping it up and...
Wrapping it up.
Do you have a quote for today?
Shoot.
I have one. You want me to start?
Yeah, go, go, go.
My quote is tailored towards communication since that's what we're talking about.
Okay, great.
Good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity.
Ooh.
And I think that that's extremely important because kind of like we talked about, you know, making sure you're communicating with your client. I'm kind of on with you of you can never really over communicate too much with your client, especially when it comes to event details, except like if something goes wrong, you don't have to tell them and everything.
Yeah.
But like the more that you know and your client knows and your team knows and your vendors know, the better the event is going to be and the more successful everything is going to be because people are not going to be confused. Everyone's going to know. And guess what? If you forget something, they'll pick it up because you've already told them and had that communication with them. And that way you have people to rely on.
A lack of communication can ruin a lot of really good things. And I think that's just true because I feel like we do a lot of assuming instead of trying to like understand really what that person is really thinking or like where we take something. If something someone says fine and we're just like, wow, I think they're a little mad at me. We're like, we really have no idea.
No idea.
But like instead of just asking like more detailed questions, like we take that so personally.
Agreed.
Instead of just really trying to communicate with them and see what like the actual deal is. Just learn how to communicate and also learn to take time to wait for people to be able to communicate with you because not everyone's going to be at a point when they're willing to communicate.
Agreed. And being able to listen because part of communication is listening.
Listening. And I'm really bad at it.
Me too.
So like getting better at active listening, which is crazy because it's one of like the top skills in the job. So like I think active listening and that's one of my skills I'm always trying to get better
Agreed.
At. Is like active listening.
And you can always grow in everything.
Yes.
We're constantly growing. The events industry, constantly learning, constantly growing. And and that's what makes our industry so unique is it's ever changing.
I think the hard part for active listening for me too is like my brain works so quick.
Yep.
And so it's hard for me to turn it, like not turn it off, but it's hard for me not to like anticipate their need. So then I'm already answering their own question instead of just actually letting them finish. So I'm getting better at trying to take notes. Even in my friendships, I've been trying to like interrupt less. So like if I'm interrupting you, just
same.
Like punch me.
We do the same. We are both the same.
Just be like, shut the.
Thank you for bleeping out the cuss word.
I saw it. Just shut up, Katie, and let me finish talking. Because I don't know what you're actually going to say. I can't read your mind. I just think I can't.
Well. Everyone, we are so glad we were able to get this out in between all of our busyness.
Yes,
and
we'll see you at the end of October.
We love podcasting.
We'll
love
you up when October ends.
Yes! It's spooky season.
Spooky season. We'll see you for Halloween.
Bye!
Thank you for tuning in to another chaotic episode. If you enjoyed our conversation, please follow, rate, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love hearing from you, and we want your voice to be a part of the conversation. That's right. We want your thoughts, comments, and burning questions. Whether it's a topic you'd love us to explore, a comment about a recent episode, or a question that's just been keeping you up at night, we want to hear it. You can find our social media and email in the show notes. We look forward to connecting with you. Bye. Bye.